Elissa Walker-Campbell, we are back with you at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And right now, we are going to completely shift gears. It's summer. We're going to have some fun. It is time for a book review. And we are delighted to have with us award-winning ABC News anchor Dan Harris, who has covered wars. He has covered presidential campaigns. He's investigated human traffickers and even been chased by wild elephants. But by far, his most challenging assignment involves something much more personal, and that was taming the voice in his head. He has a new book out that tells the story of an accidental odyssey and leaves the reader with a simple and potentially life-changing takeaway. The title of the book is 10% Happier, How I Tamed the Voice in My Head, Reduced Stress Without Losing My Edge, and Found Self-Help That Actually Works. Dan, it's good to have you with us on this Friday night.
Thanks for having me with you. Appreciate it.
Okay, so let's start off with having you share with all of our listeners what led you to write a book about this topic and what was the inspiration. Give us the background.
Well, the background is I had a panic attack on national television. I was anchoring the news updates on Good Morning America about 10 years ago, and I freaked out, lost the ability to breathe, had to kind of quit in the middle of my little newscast, and I later went to a doctor who asked me a series of questions, including, do you do drugs? And rather sheepishly, I said yes, and he said, mystery solved. And the backstory here is that I spent a lot of time in war zones as a correspondent after 9/11 in Iraq and Afghanistan, Middle East. And when I came home after a particularly long stretch, I got depressed and I did a very dumb thing, which is I started to self-medicate with cocaine and ecstasy. And my doctor explained that even though I was only doing it for a brief period of time and it was pretty intermittent, it was enough to raise the level of adrenaline in my brain and produce that panic attack. So that kind of that moment, combined with a bunch of other weird things that happened in my life, led me ultimately to meditation.
And of course, in the book, I mean, you openly share talking about self-medicating with recreational drugs. Dan, you know, when you look back on that, I mean, is it kind of shocking? You're like, how in the world could my life gotten so out of balance and put myself in such a precarious situation?
You know, I actually think it's like an extreme version of what all of us are doing all the time, which is living in a mindless, thoughtless fashion. Now, obviously, I took it pretty far, but we live our lives sort of yanked around by our urges and impulses that are kind of happening just outside of our range of consciousness, and so we're doing things like eating when we're not hungry, or yelling at people when it's not in our best interest, or checking our email when our kids are trying to talk to us, or screwing up our golf putts because we're too busy worrying about, you know, something stupid at the office. And really, meditation is the antidote to that.
Yes, and we're going to get into talking about meditation, but I want to hear some more in terms of, as we were sharing, about the inspiration of this book. And you talk in there as far as your experience, the job, obviously, the intensity of it, being at ABC News as an anchor. But when you were assigned to go overseas, and we were in Pakistan in October of 2001.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I got kind of addicted to the adrenaline of it, and I didn't handle it well. When I came home, I got depressed, and I wasn't even sort of aware enough to know I was depressed. You know, the way I handled it was to take drugs. And I think this isn't talked about a lot with war reporters, but they're as horrifying and as important as it is. It is also thrilling. And that can be damaging if you aren't, you know, if you don't have the wherewithal to handle it.
How did the job overseas, how did that change you, though, when you came back?
Well, you know, it was a real education. I was 30 years old when I started traveling to these places, and, you know, I'd never really been, I'd never been to these parts of the world, the third world, the Arab world, war zones. But I was changed in that I learned a lot about how the world works and how dangerous it can be in certain places. And I learned a lot about myself and what I was capable of and what I wasn't capable of. You know, it turns out I was capable of and even enjoyed taking these kinds of risks, which, you know, I think can be laudable because we need people there witnessing what the American military is doing in our name. but also can be kind of dangerous to your psyche.
Well, I was just thinking about just the impact of those assignments. I mean, because as you said, you witnessed a lot. I mean, so much to handle and to be able to digest, and that you can certainly understand how through the years, I mean, that you were able to have that type of a meltdown. But so tell us now about why meditation. I mean, break it down for us, because so many folks they're skeptical about meditation. What led you to that journey now?
Look, nobody was more skeptical than me.
Okay.
I mean, I always thought that meditation was only for freaks and weirdos and people who live in a yurt and, you know, really into Cat Stevens and Ultimate Frisbee. It's just like, it was the last thing I wanted. And it wasn't like, just to be clear, it wasn't like I quit using drugs and then started meditating and my life was perfect or anything like that. It was more that a couple of years after I stopped, after I had that panic attack, I kind of, I had been assigned to cover faith and spirituality by ABC News, and I kind of stumbled into it, and I learned about the science that says that it can lower your blood pressure, boost your immune system, and rewire key parts of your brain for reduced stress and increased well-being. And then I learned that it doesn't require, you know, joining a group or believing in anything or sitting in a funny position or lighting incense, and so I decided to give it a shot, and it's made a big difference.
Well, there certainly is a lot of misconceptions about meditation. Why do you think that is? I mean, this is obviously a sports show. I mean, we know Phil Jackson and his belief on meditation.
I think it's because there aren't enough Phil Jacksons. I think it's because the way meditation has been talked about in our culture leaves too many of us out of the conversation. It's talked about in a very annoying way, like you're being read to out of a fortune cookie with a pan flute accompaniment, and it's just, you know, it isn't a fair representation. It's exercise for your brain. That's all it is. And, you know, it's really being used in the sports world in a big way. Phil Jackson, obviously, a leader on this, but, you know, the Seattle Seahawks had a meditation coach that turned out well for them in the Super Bowl.
Sure.
A lot of the people competing in the Olympics and now in the World Cup are using mindfulness and meditation. Novak Djokovic in the tennis world. So it's, you know, people are using it to increase their focus and stop being yanked around by your emotion, or to put it in sports term, to help you get in the zone. And so I think we got to set aside our misconceptions and look at it for what it really is.
Okay, we've been going one-on-one with Dan Harris. His ABC News anchor has a new book out. It is titled 10% Happier, How I Tamed the Voice in My Head, Reduced Stress Without Losing My Edge, and Found Self-Help That Actually Works. A true story. Congratulations on the book. Just real quick, we've got like 15 seconds. How'd you come up with the title, 10% Happier?
Because it's true enough, and also because I want people to be wary of anybody who promises a magical solution. There is no such thing.
Dan, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy your weekend, okay?
You too.
Much more straight ahead at YSR, the Big E Sports Show.